fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young, broadcasting from Washington. Welcome to the April 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We kick off with the world of table tennis, where the International Table Tennis Federation has ranked Nigeria's youth sensation Musa Mustafa as the world's best player in the boys under 11 cadet category. According to the latest rankings, Mustafa's 128 points made him number one in the under 11 categories, while also being ranked 17th in the under 13 category. Mustafa becomes the second African to be rated number one in the world after Hannah Goda in 2020 was named the best in the under-15 girls category in the world. He spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about his rankings as world number one in the under-11 category and his ambitious plan to become the world number one in the senior category in the future.
Happy, I feel proud of myself. I thank my parents and my schools for giving me time to train and play competitions and be champion. And coach, I thank my coach too. I thank everyone for training with me, for the support and everything.
At what age did you start playing tennis? What has the journey been like?
I started to play tennis at the age of 7. At first, it was difficult for me because during the holidays, my father takes us to Lagos. He does not allow us to enjoy our holiday in Abuja and meeting people. I'm not used to them. It wasn't easy for me and my brother, but gradually I got used to it.
What's your ambition in the game of table tennis?
My ambition is to remain world number one in cadets, to be world number one in junior, and to be world number one in the senior category. That means I have to train harder, listen to my coaches, and to be obedient to my parents and my teachers.
That was Musa Mustafa, world number one in the under-11 category in table tennis, and he spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on phone from Abuja, Nigeria.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat Music Show. Still on the African Beat, with the Tokyo Olympics getting closer, Ugandan athletes are participating in local and regional competitions to fine-tune ahead of the games. Officials say after over a year without competitions, athletes have to prove themselves ahead of the games. Reporter Mugume Davis Wakirinji looks at how Ugandan women runners are working hard towards the Summer Olympic Games.
Short distance runners engage in a 100 meters race at Mandela National Stadium, Nambole, for a chance to qualify for this year's Tokyo Olympics. One of them is Adokorachi Brenda, who runs for Prisons Club. At the end of the race, Brenda posts 12.96, a whopping 60 seconds less than her personal best of 12.35. Brenda blames her dismal performance to many days of less athletics competitions as a result of COVID-19 pandemic.
It wasn't bad for the start of the season, because the time I'm bringing is not that bad. So I believe since we are out for lockdown, people are home, people are not training, and the season we have just started, some of the trials have been cancelling them, so this one is not bad. Like me, I've gained weight. I'm having weight that I've never had it before. So now I have a process of hard chopping weight, work on my speed, everything.
Women need at least 11.5 mark to qualify for the Olympics in the 100 meters race. Uganda has struggled to get women qualifying for this race. But one race where Uganda has excelled in recent days is long distance. 3,000 meters steeplechase runner Peruth Chemtai says she was glad to get back on track.
I'm so happy to be in Nambole
I'm very happy to win the race. Now I stay for long to going outside the races, but soon I'm going to run in Monaco. Yeah, I want to run my good time, then I prepare for Olympics. Yeah, looking forward for Olympics. Just you can run the top three. Yeah.
You hope you'll be in top three.
Yes. Yeah, I'm praying to be in top three.
And win a medal for Uganda.
Of course. Yes.
Peruth hopes she'll be able to improve on the national record she set at the Monaco Diamond League of 9.794 in 2018. She'll be running at the Olympics for the second time, having run at the 2016 Rio de Janeiro. With 800 meters world champion Halima Nakai and experienced runner Winnie Anyando out, sprinter Shida Rene came in handy to excite fans. Shida, who runs both 200 and 400 meters races, preferred running the latter, where she posted her season best 52.17.
It was my target to improve on my time, so I'm so happy with it. I've been preparing myself knowing that I had to lower my time. If I lower my time, it's a great achievement to me. So today I've achieved it. I know things are moving right by my side, yeah.
Athletics coach Rafael Kasaja says he's impressed by the runner's performance.
There is lots of improvement. We've seen the 100 meters. We've seen people like Orogot coming close to the national record. He ran 10.49, and the national record is 10.40. So that is really close. We may expect him even to break the national record. And we've also watched the 400-meter runners. They've really run good. We've seen Peru's Chemtai in the 3,000 meters. She's run impressively. So I think with this lockdown, mainly it benefited the long-distance athletes because these guys could do their long runs, but the sprinters were locked up in the lockdown, so they couldn't do much. But we are seeing them progress steadily. Every trial, there is lots of improvement. You can look at Shida Leni. Today, she ran a very impressive, very early 52, so she's almost dipping into 51. So there is hope that even the sprinters can make it for the Olympics.
Sports reporter Ahab Wesje agrees.
These athletes have really shown us that they have not been seated at home. When you look at the endurance they put in, it shows that they are hardworking people. They know what they want. They know what comes ahead. Tokyo 2020 Olympics, among other competitions that are on international level. So, sum it up, they have shown us they are good. I'm impressed. Uganda got talent. These boys and girls are the best.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Algerian winger Riyad Mahrez scored a stunning free kick, while Kevin De Bruyne added another to help Manchester City produce another comeback victory and secure a crucial 2-1 away win against Paris Saint-Germain in France. The Citizens have secured victories in their past 18 games away in all competitions, with their Belgian talisman Kevin De Bruyne directly involved in 9 goals in his past 8 Champions League appearances in the knockout stages. The soon-to-be English Premier League champions earned a place in the last 4 of the Champions League for the first time since 2016, and only the second time in their history, after cruising past Bundesliga powerhouse Borussia Dortmund in the quarterfinals. City boss Pep Guardiola had nothing but praise for his side.
I think we started really well the first 15 minutes. But after we had a problem to keep the ball, so in part I would say for the quality from Mauricio Pochettino team, for the quality for the players they have. If you are not aggressive against Verratti, Paredes, Neymar, and all these big stars, so you cannot do it. So it's so difficult. And when we realized to be more aggressive, especially second half, making a good intensity, and after that we can find it. But I'm pretty sure the second leg will be different, the second half, because I know Mauricio is going to learn when to see the game. Also, we have to see the game. We can change something to be more aggressive and more fluid in our game, and do it.
That's Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola after his team stormed back in the second half to beat PSG in the first leg of their Champions League semi-final tie. Both teams will meet again on May 4th for the second leg at the Etihad Stadium in Manchester.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Prince Nestor, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Shifting gears to the Europa League, Arsenal are set to host Unai Emery's Villarreal at the El Madrigal Stadium for one of the biggest games of their season, as they look to establish an advantage ahead of the second leg fixture scheduled to take part at the Emirates Stadium next week. The Gunners will be boosted by the return of French striker Alexandre Lacazette and Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who both missed Arsenal's disappointing defeat at the hands of Everton for the first time in 25 years last weekend. Arsenal fans will also be happy to hear that Villarreal are yet to beat the London-based club in any European competition and have only lost one of their previous 9 European semi-final first legs. However, it should be acknowledged that they do face a monumental task ahead, since they will be facing their former boss Emery, who is considered the most successful manager in the competition's history, having won the trophy 3 times with Sevilla and later led the Gunners to the finals of the 2019 competition, in which they lost to Chelsea in Azerbaijan. Manchester United are also scheduled to face off against Roma on Thursday's remaining Europa League semi-final first leg match at Old Trafford. The Red Devils' squad will be bolstered by the return of Ivorian defender Eric Bailly and Marcus Rashford, but will still be without their French forward Antoine Martial and defender Phil Jones. They will also be wary of former Manchester City striker Edin Dzeko, who has netted 5 goals in 4 games in his past previous appearances at Old Trafford. And Rick Mkhitaryan and English defender Chris Smalling are both available for Roma, but their Spanish attacker Pedro looks set to miss the match due to injury. The Red Devils fans will also be happy to hear that Roma have lost all 3 of their previous away games against them, conceding 9 goals and scoring just once in return. And United have only lost once in their last 12 games against Italian opponents in European competitions.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Washington Wizards star Bradley Beal scored 27 points, while Russell Westbrook registered 176th triple-double of his entire career in the 30th of the season, after finishing with 18 points, 18 rebounds, and 14 assists to help the Wizards beat the Los Angeles Lakers 116 to 107 points. The 32-year-old is now only 6 triple-doubles away from breaking Oscar Robertson's all-time record of 181. The Wizards have 10 games remaining and are ahead of the Chicago Bulls and Toronto Raptors by a game and currently occupy 10th spot in the Eastern Conference. Anthony Davis led the Lakers with 26 points, 5 rebounds and 2 assists. Dennis Schroeder had 13 points, while Andre Drummond had 17 points and 11 rebounds, as the Lakers limped home with their 4th loss out of 5 games. In other fixtures, the Phoenix Suns have clinched a spot in the 2021 NBA playoffs after beating the LA Clippers 109-101 on Wednesday night in a match that was played at the Phoenix Suns Arena. Chris Paul scored 28 points, while the Suns' incumbent star player Devin Booker added 21 points to put an end to an 11-year playoff drought in the NBA. The Spurs also lost at Miami 116-111, while the Blazers beat Memphis 130-109 points.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Organizers of the Tokyo Olympics have confirmed that all athletes participating in this year's event will be tested for COVID-19 on a daily basis as part of an effort to deal with the possible spread of the deadly virus. The recently updated playbook provided details of rules agreed upon by the International Olympics Committee, the Paralympic Committee and Japanese organizers, including quote-unquote a requirement of 2 COVID-19 tests for all games participants before their flight to Japan, daily testing for a period of 3 days for all other participants after their arrival, and a ban on public transport for all participants during their stay in Japan. End of quote. He is Christopher Duby, the Olympics Games Executive Director, addressing safety issues.
Everybody is saying the more precise and the stricter, the better. For one reason, safety first, for Japanese people and for all participants.
Pierre Ducre, the Olympics Games Operations Director, also defended the decision.
Responsibility is really the key to our success. And for those that will choose deliberately not to respect the rules, there could be impact on their participation to the Games.
Those Pierre Ducre, the Olympic Games Operations Director, defending the organization's tighter COVID-19 measures, including daily testing for athletes. Both clips were played courtesy of the Associated Press. The organizers also encourage all participants to get vaccinated against COVID-19, but were also quick to add that vaccination will not be a requirement to participate in the Tokyo Olympics. The guidelines come amid rising concern over the fate of the games in recent weeks, following an increase in the rate of infections in Japan and other countries including Brazil and India. The organizers also postponed another decision about allowing domestic spectators to enter the venues until June. The games are scheduled to start on July 23rd. And staying with Olympic news, in the sport of rugby, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us about last month's launch of a new women's tournament that will expand the Women's Rugby World Cup. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. World Rugby says the new tournament will create a more competitive international landscape and accelerate the development of the women's game. And in a video news conference, World Rugby Chief Operating Officer Alan Gilpin outlined what is being called a game changer for the sport.
It really is a landmark announcement reflecting World Rugby's commitment to the development of the women's game and to women in rugby. Certainly the single greatest opportunity for us to grow our sport in the coming years. This competition is supported by an initial £6.4 million World Rugby investment, a three-tier annual global competition model that will feature 16 teams and will be hosted in a new September-October global competition window, taking place in all years except Rugby World Cup years. In line with the high-performance goals of that transformational Women in Rugby strategic plan 2017 to 2025, this really underscores our commitment to increasing the competitiveness of women's rugby and the commercial and fan engagement opportunities that come with that as we work towards an expanded 16-team Rugby World Cup for the women's game in 2025.
The new competition called WXV will start in 2023 and feature the expanded 16 teams competing across three tiers. Six teams will compete in the first tier, the top three sides for the European Six Nations and the top three from the cross-regional tournament featuring Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States. The second tier will feature the two next best teams in the Six Nations and include one team from Oceania, Asia, and Africa. And the third tier will be two teams from Europe, one from Asia, and the winners of a playoff match between Africa and South America. Alan Gilpin says he believes the new structure will make the game more competitive, which will ensure the success of women's rugby for years to come.
This really sees us creating certainty on where the women's game will be going over the next decade or more. Certainty for the unions and teams and players in relation to the next three Rugby World Cups as we work towards that expanded program in the future. And certainty for women's high performance programs and the commercial and fan opportunity as we move forward.
World Rugby is investing over $8 million in the first 2 years, and Katie Sadlier, the governing body's general manager for women's rugby, says she has worked closely with unions and stakeholders to help expand the product of the women's game.
We see this as an amazing property that will be incredibly attractive for commercial partners. We have launched a new commercial program, and we are looking for partners to support what we're doing right across the Women in Rugby portfolio. And we see this as a really exciting proposition, which will be an ongoing, regular, best of the best competing in a three-tiered competition.
The 2021 Women's Rugby World Cup, originally set to be staged this year in New Zealand, has been delayed due to the global pandemic. The New Zealand government has said it remains committed to hosting the tournament next year, and Alan Gilpin says talks are already underway for new dates in 2022.
We're looking at a window of October, November 2022, so slightly later than we would have been this year had the tournament gone ahead in New Zealand. And there are lots of reasons for that. But you know, 2022 is a packed sporting year. And from a women's rugby perspective, obviously we have, you know, Commonwealth Games in the summer for a number of teams. We have Rugby World Cup Sevens 2022 in Cape Town to consider. So taking all of those things into account, we think that an October-November window is the best place for that tournament next year to give everyone the opportunity to be fully prepared, and we hope to be able to confirm those dates pretty soon.
And we will be keeping an eye on the Women's World Cup in New Zealand and the Rugby World Cup Sevens in Cape Town when those dates are confirmed. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And defeated former five-time world champion Floyd Mayweather is set to fight YouTube star turned amateur boxer Logan Paul in an exhibition match. According to Mayweather's Instagram page, the fight will be held on June 6th at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, after having been indefinitely postponed from its original February date. The 44-year-old Mayweather returned from professional boxing after defeating MMA star Conor McGregor in August 2017 at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas and will be coming out of retirement to face the 26-year-old American YouTuber who recently lost a split decision to fellow English YouTuber of Nigerian descent Olajide William Olatunji, better known as KSI, in 2019.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. World number one Novak Djokovic has pulled out of Madrid Open title slated for next month, the ATP Masters 1000 tournament. In a statement posted on the tournament's Twitter account, the 33-year-old said, and I quote, "Sorry that I won't be able to travel to Madrid this year and meet all my fans. It's been 2 years already, quite a long time. Hope to see you all next year." End of quote. The 2020 edition of the Madrid event was cancelled due to the pandemic, which means the 2019 winner Djokovic is still the defending champion of the event. The Serbian won his 18th Grand Slam title in February with victory at the Australian Open, but lost to world number 28 Russian Aslan Karasev in the semi-finals of the Serbian Open last weekend. The three-time Madrid champion is still expected to feature at next month's Rome Masters and Belgrade Open as he prepares for the French Open, which begins on May 30th.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Three-time world 1500-meter champion Asbel Kiprop is seeking to represent Kenya again in global events, despite the country's rules disallowing past convicted dopers from competing at major events. The 2008 1500-meter Olympic champion, whose four-year doping ban ends next February, said, and I quote, "I urge Athletics Kenya to rethink its policy not because of the offender, but because of rare occasions of possible false allegations and conspiracies that bring down athletes' careers and end up subjecting them to double punishment." End of quote. Asbel also added that he had since stepped up his training in readiness for competitions. And that wraps up the April 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Barrow, and thank you for tuning in. and Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.